stuff were sending skyward and the toxic coal ash spewing downward into Lake Michigan. That was the lead story on Rachel Maddow's show last night on MSNBC. Hats off to her. She spent at least a solid 5 minutes on that story. Good to see. I mean, horrible to see the impact of this spill, which, of course, we're not going to know about for weeks, if not months or years to come, but just for covering it so heavily. And not only just the environmental disaster, but the political irony involved here, because the EPA has been trying to enact national protections to stop this kind of disastrous spill from happening again. The very Environmental Protection Agency that all these, the current crop of Republican presidential contenders would like us to abolish, because while we don't have spills like this, I don't think so. The spill coming from a coal-fired power plant, the very kind that is so ubiquitous around this country and that is, you know, spewing all kinds of emissions every time we, you know, turn on a light, turn on the computer, turn on the stereo, the refrigerator, appliances, and we leave it plugged in whether we need it or not. This is the consequences. This is the dark side of our addiction, understandable, to electricity and our growing energy needs. Joining me now is Drew Grand. He's a Massachusetts organizer with the Sierra Club to talk about the implications, both ecological and political, from this coal ash spill, which happened, again, just a couple of days ago after a partial retaining bluff collapsed at the We Energies Oak Creek power plant, just to place it there. Welcome to the Green Front, Drew.
Hi, Betsy. Thanks for having me on today.
This is pretty reminiscent of that horrendous disaster in 2008 in Tennessee. It doesn't look as large, but it looks just as black, sludgy, and toxic.
Yeah, this brought back a lot of memories from that day just before Christmas in 2008. And the people of Tennessee that were in that town are still living with the effects of that. Their town is still covered in coal ash almost four years later. It's going to be interesting to see how long it takes before we can clean up Lake Michigan as well from this coal ash site.
Are you saying those people have not been evacuated or relocated? They're still living in that mess?
Tennessee, you know, the people were first told that it would take 4 weeks to clean up, and we're... It's still a mess down there today.
Mm. What does this portend? I mean, if we have, no restrictions or limitations or regulations on this kind of, first of all, you know, proliferation of coal-fired power plants, but also just these accidents, which, as we know all too well, from the coal mine disaster of last year to the BP explosion to the nuclear site meltdown in Japan, that human error happens, and that's why we have to factor that in. And yet it seems to not be something that some of our leaders would have us be concerned about.
Yeah, that's just it. There are 2,000 of these coal ash sites across the country, and coal ash is what's left over from coal-burning power plants when they're done burning the coal. And that coal ash is full of toxic heavy metals like mercury, arsenic, lead, cadmium, and these are just downright unhealthy and dangerous to everyone living around them. The EPA itself says that your chance of cancer is 1 in 50 if you live within 1 mile of these unlined coal ash ponds. And that's 2,000 times higher than what the EPA considers acceptable. So that cancer rate is extremely high. And there's a whole list of other health effects that come with this. Cancer rates are high, respiratory disease is high, developmental disorders are high, and even higher for anyone who's pregnant or planning to become pregnant. And to give you an idea of how unhealthy these things are, living within 1 mile of one of these coal ash sites is equivalent to smoking a pack of cigarettes every day.
Oh, my. And as if the threat to human health is not real enough, what about to marine life where this spill has occurred?
It's a total wipeout. The idea that anything can live within one of these coal ash ponds is just unbelievable. Just a complete wipeout of anything in its path. If you've seen the pictures, you see this millions of gallons of black sludge falling out of this retaining wall and straight into Lake Michigan, where, like you said, it's taken out marine life, and it's also water source that the people around Lake Michigan rely on. And it's not something that's going to stay in that one area. It's going to start dissipating throughout the rest of Lake Michigan as well.
So let's look at this tragic spill in light of what's going on with efforts to weaken, emasculate, castrate, eviscerate, abolish the EPA by those who would like to be president or congressional leaders in the next election. How outrageous is that in light of the fact that we have not yet solved our many environmental challenges, and this being a really blatant, graphic example of that?
It was only a few weeks ago that the House of Representatives in a Republican charge voted on taking away the Environmental Protection Administration's ability to regulate coal ash and put some regulations on it for the public safety of the people. There are 1.5 million people that live nearby a coal ash pond, just like the one that spewed coal ash into Lake Michigan yesterday. And that's 1.5 million people whose health are at risk, and it's the House of Representatives that are leading on these charges, that are trying to take away the authority of the Environmental Protection Administration to protect us. And it's not just on coal ash either. And this is unfortunately, we saw the effects of it yesterday, but it's not just on coal ash. We're also seeing that the Republican House is trying to take away the EPA's authority to regulate mercury as well. Just this summer, the EPA received 850,000 comments in support of the air toxic rule, which will finally put a federal limit on mercury emissions from coal-fired power plants. And that's the most number of comments the agency's ever received in its history on any rule. And despite that, we still see Republican leaders in the House trying to, as you said, eviscerate the EPA's ability to regulate that. And we know that mercury is detrimental to developmental disorders. It's detrimental to anyone who's pregnant or planning on becoming pregnant, and especially detrimental to young people or seniors. It's a devastating, horrible, toxic chemical that we need to limit, and it's getting out into our food supply and accumulating in fish that we are looking to as a food source that many people rely on. We're working in a community here in Massachusetts, Holyoke, Massachusetts, that's hosting a coal plant, and many people there rely on fishing out of the Connecticut River for sustenance, for regular food source, but we're advising them not to because of mercury poisoning. So what we want to do is see the EPA take charge and do the job that they're supposed to be doing of protecting the people.
What should be done with coal-fired power plants? I wish we could shut them all down now and not build any more, but is that realistic? And what would, the Sierra Club advocate along that line, since we are still so dependent on coal? I think it's more than a third, maybe half of our energy supply coming from coal, and there's no such thing as clean coal, by the way, should anyone listening be wondering. Probably not this audience, but it's amazing how many ads you see on CNN and MSNBC, which is about all I watch, except when my daughter turns the Kardashian show on, don't get me started. All these clean coal ads and, of course, natural gas and all the beauty of those sources, all over the airwaves. I mean, we're talking, every 15 or 20 minutes those ads come on.
Yeah, Betsy, you're absolutely right. There's nothing clean about coal. From the extraction of it, from mountaintop removal in the Appalachians where people's homes and way of life is being destroyed, to being burned in whether it's in Massachusetts or the coal ash being put into coal ash ponds in Wisconsin and Tennessee, there's absolutely nothing clean about it. We've seen that the disposal can't be controlled. We saw the release of it into Lake Michigan yesterday. But the good news is that there's groups out there like the Sierra Club working to retire these aging dinosaurs of plants. We saw that electrical generation from coal burning, it was at its lowest in 30 years in this last quarter. So we are making movements in that direction. The Sierra Club's also been working communities across the country to retire coal plants. We've seen over 100 coal units have retired in the last 8 years, and the coal rush to start new coal plants has been stopped as well. So what we're advocating is the retirement of old coal plants that are putting people's health at risk by emitting mercury, by increasing asthma rates across the country, and start investing more heavily in energy efficiency, solar and wind energy.
Speaking of hot air, I did have Pierce Morgan on the other night. He had Donald Trump on, and I listen, I guess, just to get my blood boiling, as if it doesn't enough, just reading everything that's in my inbox every morning. And he was declaring solar dead, alluding to the Solyndra controversy, and, singing the praises of coal. And I just about wanted to throw up. I mean, what do these people think, you know, their kids are going to do when they grow up? What kind of environment are their grandchildren going to have? You know, these are prominent Americans spewing this garbage, just like the toxic sludge. How can we, you know, how can we hope to, you know, sort of shut that down with some similar programming? I guess I'm getting around to my favorite rant, which is, why don't we have more, you know, programs that, you know, tout scientific realities and have more green shows on, like The Green Front or Sierra Club Radio or something on television? There's nothing to counteract the 95% of, you know, extreme right-wing talk radio hosts who are mocking all of us and all of this as nonsense and spewing, you know, the rhetoric that is keeping, you know, Americans in the dark about, you know, the dangers we face from climate change to, you know, coal pollution to air pollution to mercury pollution. And, you know, especially, well, I'll let you respond to that, and then I have one more question before we wrap up.
Well, I was going to say, the biggest thing we can do is shows like this and talking with the people, with our friends and families outside of this, and let them know the truth about it, that there is nothing clean about coal, that wind, solar, and energy efficiency can replace electrical generation from coal-fired power plants. And it's not something that we have to wait 10 years down the road for. It's something that's happening today. We've seen when the coal plants in Chicago retired, the owners of those plants announced the next day that they're replacing it with an equivalent-sized wind farm outside of Chicago for the near future. In San Antonio, we saw that when the coal plant there retired, that the city moved forward with a plan for a 450-megawatt solar facility in that area there. So these are real-world solutions that are happening here today that are replacing coal energy. And the great part about this is that when we make that switch, when we are making that switch, people aren't getting sick from it. There isn't a solar plant out there that's caused asthma rates to increase, like we've seen with the Mount Tom coal plant in Holyoke, Massachusetts, where the childhood asthma rate is 24%. One in four children in Massachusetts had asthma because of the Mount Tom coal plant there, compared to the 10% average across Massachusetts.
And speaking of Massachusetts, what about the fact that it's a state of emergency from the climate change-induced storms that we saw over the last couple of days? Our friends from the Global Warming Education Network back there, Roger and Susan, say trees are still down everywhere, power's still out, roads are blocked, phone and power lines went down, fences were smashed, cars were dented, a branch fell on their home, and last report was still there. You know, homes damaged, just like a war zone. And they said a 10-inch diameter tree outside their offices snapped right off the ground as if there weren't any roots in it. And yet, you know, you would not know that the country is concerned about this emergency based on, well, what's, you know, on the airwaves, what's on the, you know, president's mind, it seems. Everybody hoping he'll do the right thing on the Keystone controversy, the pipeline. But, you know, and we're also hoping he'll talk about the state of the climate. But it just doesn't seem to happen, and yet we could not imagine, you know, more warning signals coming from Mother Nature if you just look at what's happened weather-wise in the last year, not just around the world, but within our own borders.
Yeah, the unfortunate part is just that, is that it's been almost a week now since that storm came through, and we still have large communities out in western Massachusetts without power, without heat right now while we're moving into the winter, and without phone, without internet, without electricity, and without heat. It's unfortunate that we're still in this position, and it's something that we can help by, when we have the opportunity to invest in wind power and energy efficiency, that we do that. And we do have help right now within the United States Senate, that they have the power to stop a lot of this legislation that's moving through. So like the coal ash bill that was passed through the House, or the mercury bill that's moved through the House and moving on to the Senate. And we need to call on senators across the country, your local senators, to help us out. And here in Massachusetts, we need Scott Brown to help us out with that as well. He hasn't taken a position on clean air, and you know, he keeps citing back to saying that we need jobs, and it's the head of AEP, one of the largest utilities in the country that's heavily invested in coal, who said that by following these new EPA protections, we're going to create jobs by investing in wind, solar, and energy efficiency. So we need the people of this country to once the phone lines are up in Massachusetts, to give Scott Brown a call and let him know that, yeah, these are the protections we want for the health of ourselves and for the health of our economy.
Drew Graham with the Sierra Club, thank you so much for your contributions today. We appreciate it. Also, just want to remind anyone who's in the area around Washington, D.C., around our nation's capital, to join the circle around the White House this Sunday, November 6th, is the big protest against the expected approval, feared approval. Hasn't happened yet. Maybe President Obama will do the right thing, but there's all kinds of concerns that if he does approve that controversial Keystone pipeline, that as James Hansen, the NASA climate scientist extraordinaire, says, it will be game over for the climate. And we're already seeing signs that the climate is in spasm, so game over, it's just too scary to think. So hope for a good turnout there, and hope for a great Green Week for you, and hope you'll join us next Wednesday on this very same spot, the Progressive Radio Network. And to catch full archives, you can go there or my website, which is thegreenfront.com. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Have a great one.